With me now on the line from Atlanta, Georgia, is Peter Dykstra. Yes, that Peter Dykstra, the one who is an editor for Environmental Health News at EHN.org, also DailyClimate.org, and who brings us years of experience to looking at the environment. So what do you have for us today during this Thanksgiving season, Peter?
Hi, Steve, and happy Thanksgiving season to all. Some potential good news, especially if you're a salmon making his or her way up the Klamath River in California and Oregon. And I'm not saying that you are a salmon, Steve, but here's what's going on. The world's largest potential dam removal may soon happen in the Klamath. It's one of four in that river basin. Removing the dams may affect the generation of hydropower, but it will certainly affect in a positive way the ability of salmon to swim upstream, to spawn, and for both Native Americans and commercial fishermen to catch salmon in an area that used to be one of the most prolific areas for salmon in the entire Northwest.
Yeah, I think some of the Native Americans have said that salmon is literally critical for their survival, and that these dams have really made their survivability quite difficult. So I'm sure they see that as good news. Hey, what else do you have for us today?
A couple of weeks ago, there was news made in Europe because climate activists threw tomato soup on a Vincent van Gogh painting, one of his most famous sunflowers. There was a study done of Americans by the University of Pennsylvania to see if they thought that throwing tomato soup on a classic painting actually helped the cause of climate action. 46% of the 1,000 surveyed said it did not. 13% said it helped. 40% said they didn't think it mattered at all. But that plurality of people surveyed saying that an attempt to increase climate action support backfired.
Well, thank heavens the flowers, I think, were encased in glass, right? They weren't damaged, but it sounds like the movement that these folks are trying to start is being damaged by this tactic.
It is, and to me, if you carry it to its logical conclusion, it's like expecting the world to support you because you threw a pie at the Mona Lisa. It just doesn't make sense. And to me, it helps enforce the idea that climate activists are engaging in futility. And that's not the right image you want to cast.
Anything else you want to tell us before we head to history?
Yeah, one death that should be recognized is Herman Daly. He died at 84 earlier this month. He was the economics professor who introduced ecology, with so much of its dismal outcomes, to economics, the so-called dismal science, married the two, which sounds like a pretty dismal career, but a very, very important one to make sure that in dealing with global economics, we recognize that birds and trees and water and air and everything on our earth has a price, and it could be a positive price or it could be a negative price in the face of environmental disaster.
And just like money can't buy love, money cannot buy back a destroyed environment.
Many times that's true.
All right, let's take a look now at the history vault. What do you see today, Peter?
11 years ago, November 24th, 2011, attorneys for Tokyo Electric Power went into a Japanese courtroom where they were being sued for radiation damage from the Fukushima nuclear plant meltdown. And those lawyers argued that once that radiation was released, it was no longer Tokyo Electric's problem because the radiation was owned by the people it fell on.
You're kidding, people. They really made that argument in court?
Yeah, they did. The radiation argument did not stick with the judge, no pun intended. It didn't get very far, but it's an example of just how ridiculous some of the efforts to defend against environmental damage can get.
Certainly is. Hey, thanks, Peter. Peter's an editor with Environmental Health News at EHN.org and DailyClimate.org. We'll talk to you again real soon.
All right, Steve. Thanks a lot. Talk to you soon.
And there's more on these stories on the Living on Earth webpage. That's loe.org.